listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right, I'm RJ, live here in Atlanta. Boy, things are heating up. Jam-packed. Radio Row coming to you live. Jonas Knox to my left. I tell you, he's too thin. Might I say you had to put on 7 pounds to stay on the show, Jonas? What would you do? Well, and not muscle. Not you're not going to do a cycle.
So I got to carb up?
It's what I ate. Donuts.
Can I just do a cycle instead? It's so much easier. We don't test,
well, do we? Then it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me at all.
I'll just HGH to the gills.
Also, to my right, Steve Fezzik. Fez, did you ever imagine a better scorned by the media? It's like, that guy, he won the Super Contest twice. He's the best NFL bettor in the world. And now you've got a Super Bowl media pass. Did you ever think you'd live to see it?
Never. Suddenly I'm embraced, RJ. I love it.
Well, not quite embraced, but you're not thrown out. Let's just start there. Guys, what a show. We have bottom of the hour, Merrill Hodge. And obviously there's a lot of athletes around. And the booker for Fox Sports Radio, it's like a who's who of athletes, media guys, the shows have the choice with. But to me, in this age with head trauma being such, maybe, Jonas, the true existential threat for the NFL.
Yeah.
In the next 2-3 decades.
Yeah, because so many parents are looking at the NFL and seeing some of these most noteworthy stories of guys suffering so badly later in their later years, and they look at it and go, do I want them to send my kid down that path? And so it is something that the NFL has been all in on and has really harped on, the change to the kickoff and so many other things.
And if you don't play when you're a kid, you're not as big of a fan.
Right.
Right? When I grew up in the 70s, you know, I was 10 years old in 1980, it was baseball was king. Mm-hmm. And I played Little League, and it made me like baseball a lot more than if I didn't play Little League.
Yeah, if I wasn't into tennis by the time I was 12, I just wasn't going to get into tennis.
Well, you know, happening. If it weren't for that knee injury, because you had that double cycle, remember
right,
that
yes,
time?
Of course,
and
yes.
Blew out your knee, yep. And here you are.
Stacked with creatine, the works, yeah.
Next is a dastardly professional batter, Fezzik. I mean, hey, life happens.
Of course.
Life happens. Bottom of the hour, we got Mr. Hodge. Also, though, and let's start here, Jonas, the biggest question that I've had last week, I was pounding my fist, literally. Well, listen, I was pounding, saying, why aren't people talking about this? And I'm going to pose the question again. Todd Gurley, one of the 5 most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL, if you look at how much he's paid, if you look at the Vegas perspective on his value, one of the only running backs. Look at Le'Veon Bell. You would say, oh, Le'Veon's in that list. Well, Steelers said, you know, literally, we don't want to pay you a long-term contract. They felt like Le'Veon wasn't up to Todd Gurley's level. In fact, a lot of people believe Le'Veon would have signed that tender if it weren't for the Gurley contract. It made him say, see what – how they treat a guy, yeah, like Gurley, I should be treated that way. Gurley's above that to be signed to a long-term deal. And in the game against the Saints, a game that was nip and tuck, that went literally to overtime, that could have went either way, one pass interference call, Rams lose, and Gurley did what in the game, Fez?
4 carries, 10 yards.
Now, Jonas, here's the analogy. LeBron James in a Western final playing 8 minutes. Meaning it's not Gurley carried the ball 25 times for 50 yards and what's wrong with them, it's they didn't use him. And oh, by the way, Todd Gurley was not, N-O-T, not on the injury report before the conference finals. So if he's not injured and you don't play him, and he's one of the five most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL, what the heck is going on? Do you have an answer yet?
I don't. And you try and see reports of Todd Gurley. Is he a problem in the locker room? And according to everybody there, there's no issues. He didn't complain. He didn't throw a tantrum. But when your best player, a guy that's perceived to be one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL, is riding a bike on the sideline during the most important game, it begs the question, what is the hell? What the hell is going on? And nobody has an answer.
Fez, what Vegas does the best, and we are straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell, what Vegas does the best is quantify with numbers, right? We don't talk, we like this, we're saying 58 this, 112 that. Todd Gurley, throughout the season, his average yards expected rushing was what?
Through week 12. High 90s, 98 yards, RJ.
All right, so you could bet over, under, typically 98 yards. Right now, in the Super Bowl, what's his number?
64.
So wait a minute. Is Gurley on the injury report?
Nope.
So once again, not on the injury report, but the Vegas market with millions of dollars being bet, not necessarily on that prop, but billions being bet overall, is saying we expect about a third less from Gurley. Can someone explain this to me? And why isn't this the lead question of every press conference with anyone associated with the Rams?
I saw that an anonymous coach who was not willing to put his name on it reportedly said that C.J. Anderson is a better fit for the Rams than Todd Gurley is now.
So does that presuppose, Jonas, that if the Rams could get out of this contract, they would?
I don't know.
Because I don't know if you know this. C.J. Anderson literally was on a couch 6 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. And there's some people that say that he looks like he was on a couch 6 weeks ago. He was on his he got waived by cut by three teams, I think, this season. It's crazy.
I got to tell you something. The fact this isn't being talked about blows my mind. It almost feels like some grand conspiracy. I'm not sure what the motivation would be to not talk about it.
Wouldn't you guys think, though, that there would be some value in looking? Okay, if everybody's so down on Todd Gurley, isn't this where you guys, being the professionals that have done it for as long, are more successful than everybody? You can buy low on Gurley for this game
alone?
Well,
but that's the question. This is one of those. There's two possibilities. He's either going to be used normally, and in the over yardage is the best bet you could ever get, right?
Right.
Because you're getting like 30 yards of value. Or what we saw in the conference championship, there's some reason for it. Some secret injury, some emotional problem, some whatever. I'm not saying what it is. It's something. And then the under is the best bet. So this is a weird thing where whatever the answer is, either Gurley's going to be played fully and to his max potential, or he's not. And that answer is the only answer that matters on batting it. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm searching high, I'm searching low, and no one has an answer.
And the NFL really frowns upon Todd not reporting injuries and counting it as on the injury report. So if he is injured and they're not reporting it, they're going to get a lot of heat from the league.
Not only are they frowned upon, now that there's millions and millions being bet legally, you can really see a day, and we've said this once before, that there's a class action lawsuit that the injury report is supposed to be accurate. Gurley's not on it. Gurley's not playing. What was his injury status? If you're lying, it's not about Goodell being mad anymore. It's going to be about millions of dollars potentially changing hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, Fox Sports Radio is giving away 5 Fire TV Edition smart TVs in honor of Super Week and the big game to enter for a chance to win. Keep listening this hour as we'll be announcing the keyword for you to text. For more info and rules, visit foxsportsradio.com. RJ, there is a factor into why Tom Brady, even at his age, entering Super Bowl 53, it actually benefits him. What is it?
Well, I think this is probably the key driver of how Tom Brady plays late in his career. Now, Fez, 2 Super contests, only guy to ever do it. In my opinion, best NFL handicapper. All that said, you've been wrong about Brady. I remember, I think it's been maybe 5 years ago that you were saying, literally, guys, we could go to get the tape on our podcast. Fezzik said, you know, I think this is the year Brady hits the wall. I mean, like, we're talking like literally 2013 or 14. True or false?
True. He's been on the edge
Did you see how quickly he said true and then he moved on?
He's been on the edge of the cliff for 5 years and he never drives off of it.
Why are you screaming like we're like at the on the like like he's never been like
we're
on
Daytona.
A he's so excited. He's like he's I don't know if you can hear me over the roar of the engines, guys. All right. But what did we figure out? Is Brady really did drop off week 14, 15, 16, 17 when he played a full season? Usually the end of the year was a problem. And we know with older quarterbacks, they tend to drop off late in the year. They get banged up, they're a little bit slower, and they don't have any speed to spare, right? The one year that was the big exception late in his career was when Brady was suspended for the first four games, right, post-Deflategate, and then game 16 was really game 12 for him. But here's the beauty, Jonas, with Brady this year. Week 16, home, double-digit favorite against the Bills, if I remember, or the Jets. I can't remember Bills. The next week, double-digit home favorite against the Jets. Then a bye. Then home against the Chargers, quite frankly, in a game the Chargers were in a horrible spot and the Pats dominated, so not in a super intense game. Then on the road, which I thought was the fearful. So back-to-back games now for the first time in a while because they had the bye. And they won that game, and now another bye. So think about it. One road game, like in 6 weeks, with two bye weeks, I think Brady is primed to have a good performance. Why? Because he's rested. And what history shows us is late in Brady's career, his rest, how fatigued he is one of the biggest, if not biggest, indicators of Brady's performance. Thoughts?
Agree, and I love the
Speak
fact.
Speak up, Fess.
I love the fact that Brady has not been sacked in the playoffs. You look at his jersey, it looks like he's in warm-ups. He has not been hit.
And Fezzik's making a great point, and Jonas, you as a fan see this. There's two types of intense games. One is physically. You're getting beat up. You're getting dirty. You're getting hit. And it's also the psychic burden of close, intense games. There was the one against Kansas City. But literally, Brady's had one competitive game since week 15?
Yes.
So one competitive game since week 15. I think he's as rested as he's been at any point prior to the start of the season, you know, week one and two. And at his age, that's the most important thing for Brady. Agree?
I agree. I think that's a compelling case for why Tom may well be getting one more Super Bowl.
You know, Jonas, we're going to break. I usually do the tease. You have such a great tease about this one. I'm going to let you do it.
Guys, coming up next here on Straight Outta Vegas, there is a way you can capitalize on the Super Bowl, make some cash on the Super Bowl. All you have to do is listen to what RJ says. He's RJ Bell, the voice of Vegas. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, live from Atlanta here at Super Bowl 53. That's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas, yet we're live in Atlanta.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we're going to tell you how you can make cash on the Super Bowl, but do it in an unorthodox way. So that'll be coming up here momentarily. Now, with RJ next to me here at Super Bowl 53 here in Atlanta, we go to our special correspondent, Brad Powers, for the weather live from Las Vegas.
Yeah, each and every day we love to bring the heart of Vegas straight to you guys. And right now on the strip, no polar vortex, maybe a little bit of wind, though. Temperature 65 degrees and the neon is flowing.
I got to be honest.
That's amazing.
We've got a producer in Vegas. Yeah. He goes by Sleepy J.
Yeah.
So we said yesterday, you know, it sounds like Brad is kind of reporting from a war zone or something. You know, it's really our plush pregame.com offices, right? So Sleepy has a fan behind him into the mic, so it sounds like he's braving the weather. You gotta love it.
I mean, it's risky, you know. He's standing next to the Statue of Liberty in New York, trying to get a better read. I think it's great.
But the funny thing is, Brad grew up on a farm, literally I think he had some kind of ailment where, you know how you eat hay and you get like a bug? Like, he's actually had that multiple times right. in his youth. And now he lives in Las Vegas. He met me. He lives in Las Vegas. And literally, he has a plush apartment about 200 yards from the office. So he just walks across the street, and he's on national radio.
So
and he was on a farm like 18 months ago.
So if anybody knows weather, it's Brad Powers.
I mean, it's just like he hit the lottery. He doesn't even play the lottery.
Well, speaking of playing and something, I guess, close to the lottery, if you play it right, RJ, prop bet rules. Okay, we want to talk prop bet rules, and we've got a special prop bet show coming up this Sunday, a 1 hour special on nothing but prop bets for the Super Bowl. That's noon Eastern time, 9 o'clock Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. So what is the guide for guys like
myself?
Yeah,
so here's what I want to do, right? Because you can teach a man to fish and he eats forever. Now, I love fish sandwiches, but I'd rather learn to fish. So we're going to give concepts. Now, remember, guys, every show this week, we did it Monday and Tuesday, we'll do it today, a prop best bet at the end of the show, end of the 6 o'clock Eastern hour, right? So we'll give you the individual picks on Sunday. We'll give you more picks at noon, Super Bowl Sunday. But here's the concepts. Number one, you need to decide how you expect the game to be played. So I'll give you my personal example for the Super Bowl. I expect the Patriots to run. Why? Well, it's what we've seen from the Patriots. We talked about Brady and the rest he got in week 16, 17, etc. A lot of that was how much the Patriots tried to run. They didn't want Brady. They were double-digit favorites in those games at the end of the year. They didn't want Brady beat up, so they ran Belichick and ran. And they ran a lot of two-back sets. Friend of the show Mike Lombardi pointed out the Rams had faced only about a dozen two-back set plays the entire season. You know the Belichick knows that. And because of that, I expect the Pats to run. So what does that mean? Well, my best bet yesterday, right here on the show at the end of the hour, was over 119 total rush yards for the Patriots. Now, some of that is I don't think the Rams are very good defensively against a run, certainly relative to the past or not, but it's more about the Patriots are going to, I think, want to run the ball. Now, another example of how the game's going to be played is who's going to win, meaning teams, you always hear these stats, when so-and-so team rushes for 100 yards, they're 40-3. Is that a cause or an effect? Most of the time, it's an effect, whereas if you're winning the game, you tend to run the ball at the end of the game, right? So I like the Pats. I'm not sure I'm going to bet it at 2.5, but I certainly like the Pats in the game. So I expect the Pats to be ahead, which means I think they're going to run more. So those two things both add up to the Pats running the ball. Both, I think, they want to run two back. And number two, I expect them to be in the lead in the second half. Thus, my pick was over rush yards for the Patriots. Now, you out there, how do you expect the game to go? Another example would be if you expect a team to be winning, you probably aren't anxious to bet their quarterback over passing yards, Fez, because though winning implies they're going to be very effective, it also implies in the second half they're not necessarily going to be throwing a bunch.
Exactly right, because the team that's ahead is probably going to run the ball at least half the time. The team that's trailing, if they're down two scores, are going to throw the ball maybe 70% of the time, rack up a lot of yards.
Prop rules, factor number one, project, handicap, how you expect the game to be played, and the props become much, much clearer. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're here live in Atlanta. Factor number two for me is over versus under on these props. So if it's points, if it's yards, whatever it is, you want to look to bet unders. Now, I'm not saying bet unders blindly. If anything, the best way to explain this is be very judicious, selective betting overs. Why? Because everyone loves betting overs, and because they love it, it's popular. Because it's popular, it's expensive. Right? The clubs that the entourage kind of guys go to in L.A., Jonas, they're probably whatever, $100 a head, whatever to get into. The clubs you go into are like $2 cover and you get a free drink.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt about it. Yeah, Starbucks, Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, come on, no cover charge at all.
So popular, unpopular, expensive, not expensive.
Perfect, yes.
Right? And why do people like to bet overs? It's so much more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Go, go, go. Imagine when you bet an under, just say the game total. It's almost like, okay, my team has the ball in the 10, their own 10. Oh, man, I don't want them to punt out of their own end zone. Get a first down. Great. Okay, get another first down. Oh, it's 3rd and 1. I hope you run the ball. And then they get to the 50. It's like, okay, now stop and cough and corner them down. It's no fun.
It's stressful.
Right?
It's really stressful.
And remember this. You can always win an over at any time. You can win an over in the first quarter. You can't win an under until the game's over.
Kansas City, New England, 7-0 late in the second quarter. Game goes over.
Heartbreaker. So because the casual fan and the Super Bowl has more casual fan betting than any other sport, you're going to see more of that bias towards the over, more of that expense towards the over. And, Fez, I'll make the following point. It's a rare thing that a professional bettor is going to have more than 30% over. So let's say his over-under portfolio in his props. Now, you're projecting you're going to bet about 30 props.
Correct. Currently at 14.
You've got 14 bets in your pocket already.
Yes.
And you're going to have about 14, 15, 16 more is the plan.
Yes.
All right. Now, if you take out the bets that don't have an over-under element – right, so you might be betting things that don't. If you get into that over-under element type bets, what percentage in the long term would you say are over bets for you and under bets for you?
80% to the under. Look at Tom Brady. He opens up 286 yards. You blink, RJ. Premium tax on Brady. He's already up to 300 yards in many places.
We're going over prop rules to win money by, number one, we talked about it, handicap how you expect the game to be played, and look at the props accordingly. Number two, as we talked about, is overs and unders. The pros bet unders because overs are expensive. If you're betting even half overs, you're not betting like a pro. Another example, which is related, is be careful of field bets. Like who's going to win the MVP? Who's going to win, first touchdown is another example. Why? Because they have about 20 people on the list. And you don't know what the VIG is, the commission is. You can't tell. Now, if you say an over-under, for example, and it's minus 110 each way, right, over 50 yards, minus 110, under 50 yards, minus 110, you know the VIG in that case is less than 5%. In some of these pools with multiple bets that you can't bet the other side, sometimes the VIG is up, 40%, Fez?
And it can be even higher on things like predict the exact final score.
So anything where you're betting a little to win a lot, as our old friend Looney used to call it, that's something where they're going to VIG you to death because they think you're like some lottery idiot, right? So the pros are willing to bet a lot to win a little. And to me, that is the way to go about it. So unders and bet a lot to win a little, or at minimum, don't bet a little to win a lot because they're going to VIG you to death. Finally, prop rules, how to beat the props. The last point, this game, Jonas, is the most like a fantasy matchup in that you can bet pretty much any player over under. So typically, if you think a tight end is going to have a great game, you know, you might be able to find a prop on tight end yards if it's the Sunday night game or whatever. But for the most part, it's not an option.
Right.
Here, any opinion you have that is a fantasy type opinion, you can find a corresponding prop bet. So if you're a fantasy player or think about it like a fantasy player does, you can really find some opportunities. I'll give you an example. Some teams do really well against tight ends, where they shut down tight ends. Other teams, tight end like the Steelers, tight ends run wild. Sometimes a team is great against a number one wide receiver because they have a shutdown corner, but the number two receiver tends to run wild. There's all kind of things that fantasy players think about, and because of that, they are able to do well in fantasy. Well, in the props, it's pretty much the same thing. You can find those related bets. And thus, think if you're a fantasy person, take advantage of it. And if you're not, think about it like a fantasy player. In just 1 minute, we're going to have the honor, as a Steelers fan, to have Merrill Hodge on set. That's the plan.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
Guys, the big news here at Super Bowl 53 today was Roger Goodell. Yes, not making himself a part of the news, but maybe it's what he did and didn't say. Finally addressing the non-pass interference call in the NFC Championship game, Goodell said that he never considered overturning the outcome of the game, said the call was addressed immediately afterwards, and then communication actually continued during the week. He was asked about the possibility of replay being installed in 2019 to be possibly reviewing penalties. Says they'll look into that. Also said that a possibility of an eighth official could bring another opportunity for human error. Some other NFL news. Buccaneers wide receiver DeSean Jackson telling ESPN he wants to be in LA and be a Ram, saying that his connections with Sean McVay when they were in Washington make him want to go back to Southern California. Jackson is a Long Beach, California native. Former Fox Sports radio host and NFL defensive coordinator Rob Ryan joining the Redskins as their inside linebackers coach. Some college football news. Mike Stoops joining Alabama staff in an off-field role, according to USA Today. No Kyrie Irving for the Celtics tonight against the Hornets. He's out because of a hip injury. And finally, John Morosi of Fox Sports saying that the Padres signing of Manny Machado, there were rumors not going to happen, saying that actually Machado hasn't even met with the Padres just yet. So Manny Machado remaining a free agent, despite what the rumors in Major League Baseball want you to hear. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, live from Atlanta here at Radio Row at Super Bowl 53. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we'll have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of cash on a Wednesday night, specifically in the NBA. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Las Vegas, yet here in Atlanta, RJ Bell.
And we are honored on set here at Radio Row to have Merrill Hodge. You know, Merrill, you are our show's been on Fox nationally since September. You're the first athlete we've had on.
Get out of here.
We have kind of
this
a note.
This is a beautiful thing.
But here's the thing. I grew up an hour out of Pittsburgh,
all right,
so I only have
already
Steelers.
Liking you. Already
only
liking
Steelers
you.
On. Now, Tamar Hines Ward. So it's only Steelers at this point.
It's only getting better, brother. It's only getting better.
Now, let me ask you this question. A lot of people know your story, but a lot of people don't. If you gave us the one-minute version of your NFL career and then the aftermath, how would you do it?
Whew, that's a loaded question.
that's what we try to do here.
You know what? I lived a dream. I played for my favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Chicago
so
Bears.
So you grew up as a Steelers fan?
I grew up as a Steelers fan and a Bear fan, and I played for both teams. So in a sense, I lived a dream that I had as a kid. My career got cut prematurely. Some things come down the path of life where you don't see them coming. It's how you deal with them and handle them. I've dealt with career-ending head trauma, cancer, and open-heart surgery.
Wow.
And I wrote a book titled Find a Way, and those words have helped me live a dream and fight to live. And they've translated me into really everything, every aspect of my life in trying to find a way. And I think in life we're all trying to find a way. No matter what comes my way, what I experience, I take action towards it to try to solve it or accomplish it.
Now, were you the first player, and I apologize for not knowing this,
okay,
that explicitly retired due to head trauma?
Altoon might have been the first. I'm the first player in NFL history to have a cognitive baseline used to retire me. So I had another tool other than a neuropathologist evaluation, or neurologist, excuse me, evaluation of me, and then say not retirement. He used another, Joe Maroon used another access, which was a cognitive tool. I've been doing cognitive testing for the Steelers when they started it in 1991. I retook that test, and I failed it at such a degree 2 weeks after my two concussions that were so close together. He just felt at that time in 1994 he couldn't let me play again. What's interesting, if we had the treatments and therapies that exist today, I might have missed another couple weeks and resumed my career. That's how incredible the treatments and therapies are with how we handle head trauma, the things that we can do to help create a better, safer environment for all of our kids, rather male or female, before they return back to the environment that may have caused that head trauma.
I'm RJ Bell, live on Radio Row in Atlanta. Merrill Hodge joins us. So right now, mentally, how do you feel? Is it something where you're testing yourself often with the doctors to check where you are relative to the baseline? It's been, what, over 20 years, right, since your retirement?
Yeah, nope. You know, listen, the best thing I can do for myself and anybody, here's the leading contributors to all brain health, cancers, and heart disease. Obesity, sugar consumption, alcohol, drugs, opioids, age, and genetics. Well, the other two, age and genetics, nobody controls those. Nobody controls your age. Just hope you keep moving on in life. We're going to have wear and tear on our lives as we move, but what kind of lifestyle you establish is going to really help those other contributors, especially when it comes to brain health. Being active, avoiding sugar, not drinking are vital components in making sure that you have the best chances of having health, short-term health and long-term health.
And so you personally, how are you feeling?
Fantastic. You know what? I mean, I just talked about this the other day. I mean, I cannot feel better. I'm the best shape I've ever been in my life. I am grateful for that. But I've invested in my health my entire life, too. So I try to tell people all the time, if there's one investment you can do for yourself, invest in your health, how you take care of yourself, how you eat, because it is the greatest investment that you'll ever invest in.
And Merrill Hodge, I mean, you sound like a coach, and then I'm seeing that you actually are going to serve as a coach. Tell us about your call football.
All right, this is right up your alley. If you want to make money, if you want to place a good bet,
another hustler.
If you know football, and you've always been that guy or girl, because I think last year our biggest winner was a woman, I believe. And you want to be an offensive coordinator, you want to call plays. This is your league. Now, the difference between, like, XFL, the Alliance, the NFL, you watch their plays, you call our plays. So it's like live Madden. Every down and distance, when the ball is placed, because I'm one of the head coaches and offense coordinator, I put a bundle of plays up on the screen. There's three plays, just like Madden, diagrammed, labeled, names for them. Fans vote on them. The majority of the vote, once that's selected or is done after 10 seconds, that play comes to me. I send it to the quarterback. Within 17 seconds, we're executing the play the fans voted on. You can win money you can play a quarter, a half, or an entire game. You can win money the first quarter, second quarter, half. We gave $70,000 away last year. If you call the perfect game, you win $1 million. So if you want a little bit of cash, you believe you want to be an offensive coordinator, and you want to watch some football, but you don't want to feel like you're wasting your time, this is the perfect game for you. And it's professional football, so it's live football. It's not a game. It's not an actual video game.
That's the voice of Merrill Hodge. I'm RJ Pell, live on Radio Row. Two last questions for you.
Fire.
Number one, how would you rate, how would you critique how the NFL has done in recent years when it comes to the head trauma and CTE?
They're the leaders. They're the pioneers in it. Any other sport, they're the first really, the Pittsburgh Steelers were the first team in professional history to ever do cognitive testing, 1991, and that was established by Chuck Knoll, who challenged Joe Maroon, who's a great neurologist, about doing something other than just personal evaluation.
Do you feel like it's unfair? I mean, I would say in general, if you asked 1,000 fans randomly, how much emphasis, how much does the NFL care about these players? There'd be a lot of, oh, they're just meat up there. They don't really. No. You think that's unfair?
Yeah, yep, absolutely incorrect. Wow. I've lived in two different professional teams. I understand what they. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers start doing cognitive testing for even the so-called smart people in the brain world even thought about doing something other than just a personal evaluation and a CAT scan or an MRI. Okay. Chuck Knoll is the one that challenged, come up with another tool. Let's get another way to evaluate these players so we know whether we should return.
So you played under both Coach Knoll?
Chuck and Bill Cowher.
Wow, that's
right.
So quite an opportunity.
Really the football world challenged the brain world. Listen, do something better. Come up with something. I played for the Steelers and Bears, and I know from personally how they went about caring for me and treating for me. They do care about their players. Absolutely.
Last question for Romero Hodge, straight out of Vegas. And I say this, and I think we owe it to the audience, very gingerly. Do you worry about as you get older? You know, it seems to be the concern is that as time passes, some of the head trauma can have symptoms and all that. How much does that worry you on, not even a daily basis, in a given month?
Not one bit. I never put any thought process into being concerned about that. However, that does lead me to a book I just wrote and launched called Brainwashed that answers that question. You know, and if people are interested,
it's almost like we planned it.
The true scientific information of what CT's the scientific community is really saying about it versus what you're hearing in the media or from one source, Boston University. Go to brainwashedbook.com. I've got the scientific literature, the book's there. And it's really in a powerful book for parents to give you all of not only the information and the truth about science, but the protocols and treatments and therapies that are available if you've had some type of head trauma and you need some type of help to help you with an accident that you've had, because they can happen outside of sports, not just in a football environment.
Here's what we can do. We'll throw to the break, Jonas. Merrill will say there's two ways to make money. One is your deal, and two, free picks are coming up next. And then you throw it. Ready? Let's
good.
Do it.
Now, how am I going to say? What do you want me to do?
All right, you're going
to
say.
Which one do you want me to say? Two ways to win money.
Two ways to win money.
That's
one,
what I need to say.
All right. Two ways to win money. One is.
Right. Two ways to win money. One, your call football.
Okay. The other, the free picks coming
the
up.
The free picks coming up. Stay tuned.
And that's next here on Straight Out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas via Atlanta Live.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan, also via Atlanta. Or via from Atlanta, is that better? Is it the proper?
I'm a little, my education's a little stronger.
I think so.
I go via. You say from.
Yeah, I'm from Atlanta. That works.
But remember, OUTA is OUTTA. So
is
it's
it?
Kinda, it's some would say it's straight hip hop. I'm not saying that.
Now I would always go GHT in the past, but then I got smarter as we did this show, and I just go double T's.
See, now that's next level.
Oh yeah, there it is. all right, so guys, we have an NBA doubleheader on ESPN tipping off a little over an hour from now. It is the Pacers at the Wizards. Right now on pregame.com, Steve Fezzik, Washington is a one-point favorite at home.
And I'll lean to Washington. It's all about John Wall.
So wait, you don't like it. Just a lean.
Just a lean, and it's all about John Wall. Big name, really good player, but the team, Washington, was overvalued with him. 12-23 against the spread. Since he's been out for the year, they've been a cover machine, 10-5 against the spread.
Now think about that a second. So 12-23 with them. Now the spread by definition expectation, you're losing a ton of money betting Washington with him. He leaves. Now, some of it's going to be, oh, they've been downgraded, and maybe they downgraded him too much. But I also think there's a little maybe addition by subtraction.
Absolutely. John Wall was calling out his teammates, saying that they were the ones that were messing this all up. And I think the team has responded with team ball since Wall has been out.
And I feel like also you had Bradley Beal really want to step up because he wanted to show he could lead the team as well, too, after Wall stepped away. So there's always that. Guys, after they go final in Washington, we've got the Jazz at the Blazers. And Portland, or actually the Jazz now, are a one-point favorite on pregame.com.
And I like Portland here. I actually bet Portland right before I boarded the plane here from Vegas to come to Atlanta. All about the sneaky home court advantage. Portland's been very good at home. 21-7 straight up, 17-10 against the spread. And I like the spot for Portland here as well.
Hold on a second. So what I'm hearing you say is, because to me, I think it's important that we're clear. Sometimes a good record means play on a team. Sometimes a good record against the spread might mean play against a team because they're overvalued and you think it's going to turn. So let's be specific. With these two teams, you believe in the record, ATS shows it, they need home court, both of them.
Exactly right. Now, it's well known that Utah has a really big home court advantage because of the altitude, but the home court advantage in Portland, I think, is less recognized by the marketplace.
So that's factor one, where more than almost any other NBA matchup, home court matters with these two. They're right in the top tier of that mattering. Factor number two,
it's a great home spot for Portland. They've been home for 6 days, and they haven't played since Saturday. Think about this. NBA teams struggle to have consistent practices. They struggle to have enough time to game plan for an opponent. Portland can do both here for this game.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Back in Vegas, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Real quick on FS1, Creighton St. John's, you have a new feature. It's called a one-line handicap. Go, Brad.
Yeah, like Creighton in this one. Bet Creighton minus the 4. Creighton better than their record indicates. Why? They played the 11th toughest schedule in the country, and Creighton also 4th best shooting team in the country. But yet in the first meeting against St. John's, they had their worst shooting percentage of the season. That's an outlier we're going to take advantage of. Creighton minus 4. Like them.
That's a bonus. Now, we promised you guys a prop best bet every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, today's Wednesday. That means there's a prop best bet. This is the only one from Brad Powers.
Yeah, and call me square, RJ. I'm going to go Julian Edelman over 79.5 receiving yards. Hear me out here. Edelman, last year, missed all last year, injury. Suspended the first 4 games of this season. Started off slow. Had 3-4 games where he didn't do much statistically. Last 11 games, Edelman has topped 79.5 yards 7 of those 11 games. Playoff Edelman, completely different. Last 12 playoff games for Julian Edelman, he's topped 79.5 yards in 10 of those 12 games. And who's going to be covering Julian Edelman? Nickell Roby-Coleman. If that name sounds familiar, that's the guy that called out Tom Brady for being too old. I think they take advantage of him, a little axe to grind. Over 79.5 receiving yards, Julian Edelman, wide receiver, New England.
I tell you, Fez, I'm tempted to press the green button. I mean, we were preaching unders. He's back in Vegas. He's like off the reservation. He's an outlaw. I wonder if he was laughing, saying, oh, well, I'm going to stick it to RJ and betting over here. In fact, that's it. I'm pressing the green. I don't have the green button. Cha-ching. There it is, baby. I'm betting against Brad Powers. That means Brad Powers is a big underdog, guys.
The Odd Couple is coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, live from Radio Row in Atlanta. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, as we get set for Super Bowl 53, live here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.
You can sit here, Manny. I'm going to sit there for
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.